Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, amen. Welcome to the Royal Bluettes, or the Royal Blues. I forgot even what we called it exactly.
But, the Royal Blues.
Thank God. The Royal Blues, okay. Thank God for this great day. I had a trying day, but it's still going on, and I feel good now, so got through my battles today at work. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to express our love and our consistency and our love toward you. Thank you for Blog Talk Radio with Elder Oliver. May you continue to bless him and his platform that does extend to others. Continue to bless him and his family. Continue to pour into him that he pours out to us to even give us this platform that you have given him. May you continue to bless him with an even bigger platform. So today being Thursday, and like any other day, I want to say thank you, Lord. Just thank you, thank you, thank you thus far. If you don't do anything else for me personally, I can't speak for nobody else. But if you don't do anything else for me personally, you've done enough, and I'm grateful. I'm grateful, I'm grateful, I'm grateful. Even in the position I'm in right now, I'm grateful. I think I got my wife on tonight, two of my daughters, Vanessa and Aja. And I'm not sure what the subject's going to be, but I think it's about love and consistency, or consistency and love. Whichever way you want to put it, it still goes together. So I'm going to ask my baby girl, Aja, to pray us in, and we'll get started.
Everybody, bow your heads, close your eyes. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I just want to say thank you for another day, Lord. Thank you for yesterday, and thank you for tomorrow if it comes, Lord. I just want to pray over this session, Lord, that it goes through somebody's ears today and resonates with their heart, Lord, not just go out in one ear and out the other, Lord, but let it stick with them for the night, for the rest of their lives, Lord. Let anybody who needs to hear the message that we're speaking, let them hear it, God, and let them receive it and use it the way that they need to use it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you. Amen. All right, I guess we'll start off with my wife. Let her get started first, if you don't mind.
Well, why do I get started first? Well, I will say this: we apologize for the not being consistent. What tonight's topic will be: consistency and love. I went to California to see my mom, and I just totally forgot when I got out to California. And what was the other one? He was having difficulties for the last couple of weeks. So, yeah. Tonight's topic is consistency and love. I think we're going to start off with love. Well, the two people who came up with the topics are not on. So I'm not sure which flow they was going to go in, but we can just flow as we go. So let me get my book. I have some stuff written, some stuff that I was going to read about love. First of all, I would like to say thank you guys for tuning in on tonight. I want to start with, let's see, love is not puffed up and prideful. What is it? Well, let's start with the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, faith, meekness, and temperance. If you have love, all these things should flow easily. Galatians 5:22 and 23. So if you have these, if you have love, if that's if the commandments. We know that, I'm still working, y'all. The commandments, if we just abide with just the love, the rest of the commandments will be easy. The Bible will be easy. Everything else in the Bible will be easy. Okay? So if we just abide in love all the time, not just love the people that's around us and love the people that's easy to love, but loving the people that's hard to love and doing for those, to those that despitefully use you, it doesn't matter, you know. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? Jesus loved anyway. Jesus loved in spite of how they was treating him. But matter of fact, he died in love and for us because he first loved us. Even though when we didn't love ourselves or know him, he loved us from the beginning. And he died in love for us and for love. Anybody?
Well, when it says the fruit of the Spirit is talking about the Holy Ghost that you receive by believing in the name of Jesus Christ, and if you believe in the name of Jesus Christ and confess your sins, God will send the Holy Ghost to help you throughout your walk. And if you truly accept that and you're working with the Word of God, studying the Word of God, the fruit of the Spirit are all the things that you listed that are natural, that you don't have to try to do hard. It just naturally comes to you because of what's in you and what you see, what God puts in front of you to react, to do. So those are not just that, those attributes or those fruits are not just based on because you love somebody. It's the love that you would have for somebody is the love that Christ had for us. And that's when those fruits come out of you to be the person that God would want us to be.
Well, it goes back to what you said. It's the attributes of love. We should see this. So we should see it. We should see the long-suffering. We should see the joy. We should see the peace. You shouldn't have to tell somebody that you have peace. They should see peace when you walk in or when you're around. You shouldn't have to tell them you have faith. They should see that you have faith. You don't have to tell them you have meekness. They should see that it should be attributes that you display for the world to see the love of Christ in you and through you. Because you have the love of Christ. Like I said, it just flows with you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You're correct. Absolutely.
It was another scripture about being putting yourself ahead of others. You should always think of others highly than yourself. I'm driving right now. I can't, if somebody can pull that scripture up. You should think, you shouldn't always have to, you know, be in front or have to have your name on the roll or on the ballot or, you know, give somebody else a chance, you know, to be out front. Give somebody else a chance, you know, to do some things. You never know. Just because we've been doing it this way, you know, all this time don't mean that somebody else's idea might make it easier and better. Today I was talking to a young lady and to check the mileage on my car. I don't do apps. I don't download apps on my phone. Said, Miss Ricky, if you just download this app, it'll track everything and every time that you don't have to use the paper. You don't have to use receipts and you know, track it the long way. You can just download the app. I don't do apps. But I know it'll be easier, you know. So I was saying that to say, just because we've been doing things a certain way all the time, if you just let somebody else just lead or show you or let somebody else do it, you know, instead of you always, you know, in front doing a certain task, whatever it might be. If it's making the calendar, if you just make the same calendar, you know, week after week, let somebody else try doing it. You know, come up with some better ideas. But I won't even say better. Some other ideas. Your idea is not the only idea. You know? And so it's not proud. It's not puffed up. It's not always having it your way or no way. You know? What was that one? Oh, prideful. It's not pride. Prideful. It's not ruly. You know, I was in a situation yesterday. You know, we were at the movie theater, and somebody was in our seats. And when I came back, you know, my baby girl was explaining very nicely and even, you know, came over and told her, give us your seat, and we'll go sit in your seat since you guys are in our seat. The person didn't even want to budge on giving up her tickets for, you know, for us to sit in her seat. And it's like she was explaining so plainly and so calmly, and I had to step back and reflect. You know, I'm glad it was her and not me. And I shouldn't have had that thought, but I did. Because I'm not there yet. I'm still, but I thank God I recognize that I'm not. And I'm glad it was her at the time, because I'm still working in that area on not being so aggressive when things are not the way it's supposed to be. And that's one of my pet peeves. You know, when things are not, it's not going the way it's supposed to be going. You know, and baby girl handled it so well to where, you know, I was almost embarrassed because I felt convicted because I wouldn't have handled it that way. But nobody knew that. She didn't know that.
Hold on. I want to add. This is baby girl, y'all. I wanted to add, like, this is also a very big test for me. Because one thing about it, my mama, she can, how can I explain it? Her drama is my drama, basically. And I'll be 100 more than her. And with the situation with the lady, God, that was a learning experience for me to talk, use my words, think before I talk, and solve a problem without somebody else solving it for me. And God is so strategic. He made it to where my mama was late coming in the theater. It was just all an experience.
And it was good on both ends. So that's what you said. Like, I like what you said.
And then and with us being so calm, so calm, the lady who took our seats in the first place, she just whatever, here, blah, 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 gave us the seats anyway.
And stormed off.
You know what I'm saying? Right.
And stormed off. That's why you have to love the hell out of people. Anyway, love the hell out of people.
I want to say that, like,
love,
I like
the
thing
people.
About. I wanted to say that, like, what I like about leading with love and leading with Christ first is that we'll end up realizing why but situations come into our life for us to learn in them. You know, like, if we're leading with love and being calm and having a still mind and taking a step back and keeping that love in the forefront of our hearts while we're speaking and communicating and talking, we'll end up realizing why the situation came across our plate in the first place. You know, like, even how Asha said, like, how it came in her way of having her, for her to basically advocate for herself, because Asha is very, you know, soft-spoken and very, soft-spoken. So it came for her to be able to be like, you know what, you know what I'm saying? I literally have to defend myself, you know, not defend myself, but I have to speak up right now. You know, this is a way for me to exercise that, but in a loving way. You know, I don't have to, that doesn't, just because I'm learning how to advocate for myself doesn't mean I now get nasty. It doesn't mean I now get rude and disrespectful. No, this is a way for me to learn to speak up for myself and to communicate and be able to talk and use my words, you know. So I just love that when you do lead with love and keep a calm mind in situations, you end up realizing why God had you there in the first place versus some of mine where, like, after I'd already, you know what I'm saying, got up with somebody or kind of, like, got a little rowdy, then I want to reflect and be like, okay, I see what God, I see why that I was in that situation. I'm supposed to do this. Now you got to kind of go back with your head down. Not really with your head down, but kind of like, okay, I'm sorry. I apologize. I shouldn't have handled it like that, you know. But I just said that to say is that when we leave with love and having the fruit of the, displaying the fruit of the Spirit, peace, meekness, long-suffering, when you're displaying those fruit, even in the midst of situations, because you don't know you have peace till you're there in the situation. You don't know that you can withstand trouble and have long-suffering unless you're there in a situation. So I love that leading with love and leading with that, like leading with Christ, is it puts us in places where we can learn and grow and blossom.
Right. And what I got, what I've always, for the last maybe year, God has been showing me why I'm put in situations to show me what's still in me, what I need to work on. And every time he shows me, this is why I put this situation here, to show you what you have to work on. It's still in you. It's still in you. I don't care how much you say you delivered, but it's still there. And you're not going to know you're fully delivered until you're tested over and over in that area and you pass all the tests. I'm not saying I failed yesterday. But I had to reflect on why I wasn't there in the first place to handle the situation. Because we probably would have told the place. I don't know. No, we wouldn't have. We wouldn't have threw it up. But I'm just saying, things could have went, you know.
I was going to tear it up.
No, you wouldn't have.
You gotta ask this. Stuff don't be worth it. Y'all about to do all that over some seats in the movie theater. And I bet you there was
no
seats somewhere else.
No, it's the disrespect.
It was
the principle. No, it wasn't even the principle.
It's just the fact that it's a whole movie theater. And there's other people that's going to be coming in, too. So we're stealing somebody else's seats when we can steal yours.
But she didn't know whose seats they were. You just took it upon yourself to sit in the front row seat instead of checking
that's
your
all,
seat box.
That's right. Y'all not saying nothing. All I said was my only comment was y'all finna tear it up over. It still boils down to
it wasn't over the seat. It was her attitude when Asha was talking to her, was asking her to give me your seat. It's her attitude. It was her attitude. It wasn't even about the seats no more. When I came in, it wasn't even about the seats no more.
Okay,
it's about
That is even better. Y'all about to lose y'all cool over something y'all can't control. Y'all can't control that lady actions, but you can control yourself. That's even better than. Wasn't even about the seats.
When I came in, it wasn't about the seats. I see you getting loud with my child.
This is all about how you shouldn't go off. And y'all still defending why y'all had an excuse to go off.
But we didn't
But we didn't. So now.
At all.
We did not go off at all. Neither one of us.
Right. And I'm saying the same thing. All I said was if y'all would have, I just said it just would have been about this. That's all I said. I didn't say y'all should have or didn't have. I didn't say nothing different, but even if y'all did,
right,
y'all would have lost y'all cool over something that wasn't worth it.
Right. And
when y'all decided to exemplify being calm, that was more fruitful.
Right, but this was the thing, Vanessa. Think about this. You know how I was. I'm walking back in the theater, and this lady, this big old huge lady, and she wasn't little. I'm not even gonna say what she was, but she was she's big, and she got big linebacker arms over my daughter, talking to my daughter. How would you would have felt if somebody was talking to your daughter?
We not talking about me.
No, I'm just saying, that's why I'm saying, I'm talking about my growth, though.
Right.
I'm talking about my growth. Because this same lady, we had got in, this is not the first rodeo with this lady. Okay? And we all, but the thing is, and it wasn't even about her size at the time. I just saw somebody disrespecting my daughter. Period. And it's not the first time she's been disrespectful, and I had to put her in her, I wasn't godly the first time. I wasn't. I'm just gonna keep it real. I wasn't. It's been some years, y'all. It was a while back, but I'm just saying it wasn't godly. We was toe to toe. We was getting ready to throw blows. But for you to come up and I know it was a test for me because the last fight I had in church was over my kids. So the enemy knows what buttons to push. But guess what? That button fell off years ago. That button right there. But what you wasn't going to do was disrespect my daughter. That's what I had to check her at. That's what you're not going to do. So the end of the story was they got up out of our seat and moved up further in the theater. When it's all said and done, you're still going to move. Period. Talk cool about it, and we wasn't getting ready to go back. We wasn't going to get all loud like that. We're not ghetto. I'm from the hood, but I'm trying to get all of that out, and God has been doing a great job at doing it. So, yeah. But that,
amen.
Yeah.
Proud of you.
Okay. Look, I'm proud of you for speaking up for yourself. Okay.
That was me. That was an awesome way. I'm proud of Asha too.
Yeah. Any other? Because I've seen you just say whatever and just walk away, you know. And it's not that you being a punk. It's just that's your personality. You don't like conflict. You don't like arguing. You don't like, you know. That's just you. So, I mean, I'm proud of you for, like Vanessa said, I'm proud of you for speaking up. I really am.
Thank you.
And I wasn't around when you did it. You know how people get big and bad when they're around their big brother, big sister, they get big and bad? But you were big and bad by yourself. how tall are you? 4'11"?
5'1" and a half.
You what? You said you 5'2". You ain't no 5'2". But anyway, I know she had to be what? Good 5'11",
5'10". Okay. Okay, I have a question. But it's not, it's still in love, but it's in a different direction. So,
okay,
I want to talk about, like, unconditional love and what that means to y'all. Like, what does unconditional love look like? Like, I won't say agape. That is unconditional love. That's God love. But what is unconditional? Like, I don't want to say worldly unconditional love because I don't think we can ever love like God does. I can't say that. I don't know. I'm going to just ask, what does unconditional love look like to y'all?
Not doing something for somebody to get something back or not having motives for doing for people, loving people for who they are. Just like one of my daughters, y'all know who I'm talking about. I love her for who she is, you know, regardless of her preference and you know, her love life, you know, or her status. I love people where they are. Unconditional love is not judging, you know, one another because of how we look or what we're doing or what we have or what we don't have or what you can do or can't do or whatever. Unconditional love to me is I talk about the dad to y'all, but I would never call him, you know, a name, you know, because he called me names all the time, but I wouldn't try to, you know, I'm not offended by the name. But the name that I might think of might be offensive to him, and I'm not going to say that. Just because, you know, whatever. But not hurting somebody because you can and because they hurt you, or they might say something to you, or not playing get back. I should say, when you did this to me, I'm going to do this to you.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else have an answer before I do like my follow-up answer? I mean, question. I like a follow-up to that.
What? It's not the follow-up yet. Anybody else have any other?
That's what
answer?
I said. Does anybody else have one before I ask it?
Oh, I didn't hear you say it.
Okay, so the reason why I asked what is unconditional love look like, because you know, like how when you start to form boundaries for yourself, or like, you know, how we're talking about advocating for ourselves, speaking up for ourselves, placing boundaries for ourselves, it can kind of get confused with not loving someone unconditionally. So it's like I'm running into a problem of like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I know, because the way I love, and I don't know, I just be feeling like me denying access or just doing certain things is like, does that mean I don't love somebody unconditionally? So really I'm asking about boundaries and stuff like that. Does that go into play of not loving someone unconditionally?
I don't know what you're talking about, sweetie, to tell you the truth.
So unconditional love, there are no boundaries. There are no limits. There are no shortcomings. Unconditional love is I love you for who you are, I accept who you are, and by our unconditional love together, we change who we are for the better. Unconditional love cannot be set at a certain way. Unconditional love is uncertainty, not knowing what's going to happen the next minute, right? So if we say we like a person or we want to get to know a person better, we can't go into it setting a boundary, setting a limit or whatever. We have to go into it freely to see if it will be unconditional. Right? And when we set conditions, or we set a limit, or we set a ceiling on it, or we set it to where this, that, or the other happens, then I'm not going to love that person. Those things you happen to look for because you set those boundaries. You will find where your limit is because you set a limit. Right? So unconditional love is me loving my wife regardless, good or bad, healthy or unhealthy, broke or got money. It's unconditional. And when your mom mentioned earlier, I called her names. I don't know what she's talking about when she say that, but it ain't no bad
you
names, but I don't know what she, I don't know what she,
I
let me, let me finish. Let me finish, will you? So those names are not based on her being categorized or me setting a limit on her if I call her names. No. We have an open relationship between just us, which is unconditional. And it's hard to get to that point in your life with somebody. But when you get there, there's no pressure. There's no limits. There's a relaxation. There's a comfort. I ain't got to worry about that person because I'm not thinking about where she is because my love is unconditional. I'm not thinking about what she do because my love is unconditional. So my love trusts her. My love trusts her to keep it that way. What's your question?
So once you reach that's what I'm asking, like, so once you reach a point of when all of that is questionable, and it's not just romance we're talking about, But when you reach a point where all of that is questionable and you begin to say, okay, I want to form this boundary or I don't want you in my life, does that mean that your love is conditional?
It is. But it's also on another side of that, on another side of this conversation is that you can't allow yourself to be disrespected. You can't allow yourself to feel belittled. You can't allow yourself to be less than who you are, who you know you are, by somebody else. And if that constantly happens, or if that's on the table, it's constantly happening to somebody, then you need to cut ties with that, because that does not fulfill what you need inside of you. See? So you don't have to go on and see if it's going to get better. It's not. And like your mom said about our oldest daughter's relationships, it's just me and my wife look at it like, really? Okay. So, and y'all know how far those relationships went. Y'all know the detriment it done to each of their loves. You know what the situations they ran into. You know the things that came about. That's what happens when you don't find the person that you can have a limitless, unconditional love with. Expectations and love can hurt you. Huh?
You shouldn't be looking for nobody, no way.
I'm going to get this other call right quick.
Well, you shouldn't be looking for nobody anyway. Because when a man finds a wife, he finds a good thing. So stop looking. For all the ladies out there, stop looking for a man. Your bo ass will find you. Okay?
He will find you. Yo who?
Her bo ass. Her man. Her husband will find her.
Oh, yeah. Say it like that, because I don't like the way you said that earlier.
Okay, well, her husband will find her. Women do not look for a man. You just continue to do master cleaning your house, learning how to cook. Ruth was working when she in the Bible. It was a lady who was minding her own business out in the field. Okay, out in the field working. When her king found her, he inquired about her, sent for her, got her, married her after her husband died. Okay? Continue to work. Continue to do what you're doing. Your man will find you together. Stop walking out the house with these bonnets on, these slippers on. Go outside like you somebody. Like your royalty, which you are. It's too many women. I see. I cannot stand them bonnets and them flip flops and these pajama pants. Dress nice every day, and these scarves around your head.
My them scarves be doing what they need to do when you don't feel like doing it.
No,
they
need to do it at night and take it off in the morning when
it's
you
not
go outside.
You need to say y'all, because I love me putting. I have my scarf on today.
Okay, and that's why you asking the question.
No, I said this is not about love. I said that. I said this is not just about love. This is about boundaries too.
Okay.
I'm not looking for no
relationship. Okay.
I'm traveling the world. I'm doing me. I'm good, baby.
Look, and I was just reminded, keep God first in everything you do. Keep Jesus first. Get married to Jesus first. How about that? Get married to Jesus. Be about your Father's business. Okay? Keep him first in everything you do.
That's another thing. Even with saying that, putting Jesus first, the word does talk about some people that are, like, will be single. Everybody's not meant to even be married at that. So we have to even ask God, like, is marriage even in your plans for me? You know, like, is that even what you have? Because there's some people in the word that's just, you know, here to be about God's business. So they were saying how married, you now have to tend to your spouse and a family, you know, and God. So it's like, it's some people that's just here. Who was it? Was it Paul? Was it Paul that never got, that was single? Who was? It was somebody that was just about God's business in the word. And that's some people that is, that's the mission. Everybody's not meant to be in a relationship.
Yeah, but if you're hot in the pants and you know you need a man, ask this.
Well, yeah, it does say better to marry than to burn with desire.
Correct. I wasn't meant to be single. Okay? I've been fast my whole entire life. I know I wanted to be married with four kids my whole entire life. I wanted to be married, to do married people things. So, yeah, I always knew. So you would know if you were meant to be married, and you would know if you this ain't for you. But if you hot in the pants, you might as well just go on and get married. Period. And that I was one that was hot in the pants. I needed to be married. Period. So I just thank God that my beau ass found me, or my man, I should say. Tell it, he found me. That's his story. He found me.
Found me. Well, anyway. He just kept coming over.
Anyway, we talking about the beginning. But what was your question, Vanessa?
At the beginning.
Because he's going to go south. Vanessa, what was your question?
I don't know.
Her question was
about boundaries and unconditional.
About boundaries, yeah.
And unconditional. That, because you have boundaries and stuff, does that mean that your love is now conditional?
The only boundaries that you can have is your self-respect. That's a boundary. So if you respect yourself, you got to expect somebody else to respect you for who you are. Right? Nobody can go against your foundation. And if that person does or consistently does, that's not the person for you. Because it takes you out of yourself to be with that person. And that's an uncomfortable feeling because you don't know where you are. But when a person allows you to be you, it makes you comfortable that you can be you.
Hold on, say that again. That, you said that you should be yourself. What did you say? What you said right before you said that means you don't know where you are.
So you know when I speak like this, you have to be recording.
I know. That was so good. Me and Asha just made eye contact. That was so good. I don't remember
what I said, though. But I'm going to add this to it.
So a person should respect you enough to allow you to be who you are when they met you. And if you change to be with them, then it puts limits on yourself, on who you can be. So I allow your mother to just be herself. I didn't say, will you marry me, but you have to do this, that, and the other, or you have to. No. I married her for who she was. And to this day, she still is unruly. She still talks loud. She's still like she was when I met her. The only thing that has changed in your mom is her love toward God. All the other attributes, she's trying to shake off, and she's trying to get the fruits of the Spirit right now. So she did mention earlier, she's still working with that. She's still a work in progress. But I never tried to change her. She tried to change herself for me when we first got married and I joined the Army and all that. She calmed herself down at that time. And she allowed me to be who I was, still without changing. So that was her unconditional love toward me, to try to appease me. But it didn't work that way. It didn't work.
She had to be who she was when I met her.
And that's how we got unconditional love now. Be who you was, I'll be who I was, and we'll be all right. Because we accept the responsibility of what we chose to be with.
And if you change it for a person, it's only going to last for so long. The real me came out. It wasn't even, 3 years? I'm in there screaming. You can only fake it for so long, honey.
You can only fake it for so long. So be you. Your boundaries, it should be boundaries. The boundaries would be, hey, neighbor, the boundaries should be, you won't disrespect me, okay? Period. No disrespect whatsoever. No putting your hands on me, that's a no-no. Your mama probably just have to buy you one more clean shirt or your kids.
No, but so, see, don't go that way. That's a different conversation. So
no, but I'm talking about
respect,
boundaries right now.
So the thing is say you meet a new person. Just be you. Just be you. What you can't fake, what you can't pretend, what you can't change. Be you. Always be you. You, Vanessa Naza, always be you. Be you. There is somebody that's looking for that you. There is somebody that needs that you. You understand what I'm saying? Be
yep.
you. To be something else, you're going to make a mistake, and it's going to fall through. If we just be us, we do us naturally. We naturally do us. And that's where unconditionalism come in. Unconditionalism come in. That's where it comes in at. So when your mom tried to be something... Huh? It's a word. So when your mom tried to be something that she wasn't, it didn't work because she was trying to appease me. But when she came back to the natural her, smooth sailings.
Well, yeah.
Because I knew what to expect. When she tried to be something else, I didn't know what to expect, and it created, you know, a hostile atmosphere. So to be who you are, what God made you to be, that's what you need to be. That's what we all need to be. We all have faults. Those faults are accepted by your mate because they have unconditional love for who you are. But hold yourself to a higher level. That's a condition. Hold yourself to a certain position. That's what you, let me see it. So if you hold yourself to a higher level as far as respecting yourself 100%, that's a condition. That's a personal condition. And if I come into a room and I see your condition, and I don't want to add, and I don't want to accept your condition, but I want you still, that's going to be a problem for you because of how you respect yourself. So it turns me on to see your mom, how she respects herself. And I have to respect that. So when you give respect, you get respect. I respect myself. So whoever I'm with and conversating with or whoever I'm around with got to respect me. And it all comes about in your conversations to another person and how you talk. And another person can see that you respect yourself and they won't disrespect you in that conversation. Okay, we got a couple minutes left. We can't just go silent now.
I just went.
Okay, so I was, we got, like, right before we got on the phone, I was scrolling through Instagram, right? No, was it TikTok? Was it TikTok or Instagram?
Instagram.
Okay, hold on. Right quick. And it was somebody playing a violin. And he was saying that he don't know the words to put to this. And after
sometime he did it. He had commented words for himself, and this is what he said. Is it too much to ask for a connection built not on the feelings produced by substance or the high of a good night, but a pure bond that needs nothing but love to be tight? Is it too much to ask for to find the perfect balance of beauty, intelligence, and personality that can hold a conversation that contains originality? Is it too much to ask for moonlit walks and rolling down a hill, lest the society go to the Netflix and chill? Is that too much to ask for someone who desires me for who I am instead of what I do? Someone who will be there that I don't have to pursue. Is that too much to ask for? Just have someone who actually loves, to have someone who actually values loyalty, a queen that I can eventually turn into royalty. I don't know how that fits in, but I just feel like it needed to be said.
That was
love
actually
it.
Good.
Snap, snap, snap. Mm-hmm. I love it. So good.
Hey, Nania, snap, 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 like clapping your hands?
Yeah, but no. With poetry, you know, you snap.
You snap your fingers like this.
Okay. All right, I'm snapping. I'm snapping.
You get her. You from the hood. You don't know about poetry.
But see, that's very good what you read, because that's a person that respects themselves. And you can't just talk any kind of way or treat any kind of way that type of person and feel that you're going to feel love back. See, people present themselves, people that really respect themselves present themselves as being respectful, right?
Mm-hmm.
So like the conversation that Aja had with that lady in the movie theater, Aja showed respect by being calm and just peaceful. That's respect. But the lady could not accept that and rose up against that. So you got to be careful of the enemy. You can come at the enemy softly, but making perfect sense, but the enemy will not accept that and come at you harshly. And the only way to defeat an enemy is to stay calm in who you are and your self-respect. That's the only way to defeat an enemy. Because, like, sometimes, like your mom, when she talk loud. Like, we on this broadcast, she talk loud and she kind of snappy-like. And if you get into that same atmosphere with her, it could be a problem. Especially if we having an argument. Because, you know, people do argue. We have an argument. If I go to her level, if I come up to her 100, it's going to be an issue, and I'm going to shut it down because she is not going to accept anything I'm saying because I'm at her level hollering with her. But when I stay calm like I am now and we talking, I don't know even if that pisses her off because I'm not at her level. But I'll try to stay calm, and Ricky will tell you that if I come up to her level, it's over. But this right now because it ain't going nowhere. So I tell her all the time, well, you know, we have conversations about arguments that we've had to try to make a better solution, a better way going forward. And I tell her that, Ricky, if I come up to 100, because your mama can go from 0 to 100 in the snap of a finger, I'll stay at 0. At the most, I'll be at 5. But if that ain't working, I'm going to either be quiet or I'm going to come to her level and then we're going to shut it down because it ain't going nowhere. It's unfruitful. So, Ozzy, that was a great job in the movie theater of staying calm and defeating the enemy that way. And even the enemy had to get up and leave, but they left pissed off, but it's still the mission was accomplished.
I have a scripture, Proverbs 15:1-2. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stir up anger. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly, but the mouth of fools pours forth foolishness. That's Proverbs 15:1-2.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that can be explained in what I just said just now. And see, sometimes people don't want to take your calm answer that does make 100% truth. Right? They don't want to take that because their state of mind is that I'm pissed, and I'm not going to allow you to talk sense into me because I want you to be pissed with me so we can take this further. So after today, if God raises up tomorrow, look at your day and how it's going. Because this lesson tonight will come back to you somewhere. It's going to show up. Because it's in us now that we just talked about this now and how we should approach situations now. There's going to be a test, even for me and each one of you, on how you're going to proceed based on what you learned tonight. When it comes about, just smile. Just smile. The devil tested Jesus. What makes you think he ain't going to test you or me? He would love for us to denounce God and go to hell. He would love that. But what, based on our conversation tonight, when that situation comes to where you think you need to raise your voice and act a fool, just smile. Because knowing that you're going to pass this test, just smile. That has happened to me a few times in my life where I just smile based on what I learned that morning or read that morning or studied that morning. Just smile. In their face, just say, thank you, Lord. And then proceed with your conversation. See? God ain't going to let us get into a situation that we're not familiar with. He'll never allow us to get in a situation where we've never been tested before in that situation. It'll be always something we're familiar with. We just keep failing the test. We just keep failing the test over and over and over again. How many times is he going to let us take the test? And you got to seriously think about that. Tests are we allowed to take until we pass? And to flunk out of the testing of God is to mean he just let you die. Can't do nothing else with you. Give you over to a reprobate mind to do those things that are not that are unseemly. To do things in your life that are sin that you've never done before so you can really be convicted and go to hell. So be careful. Keep your eyes open. Stay right with God. Stay in expectation that any day he's going to arrive, any day he's going to come back. Look for him. And if you're looking for God, if you're looking for Jesus, you can look over an issue. Because Jesus is not going to appear right there in front of your face where your issue is. Jesus is going to appear above that situation where you got to look up and see him busting through that sky. Our answers are not on the ground. Our answers is not eye level. Our answers is from above. Let's stop failing, all of us, let's stop failing these tests. Let's stop. I don't care if somebody say I got the best of you. Okay. Love you.
Okay. Well, the Bible let us know in Ephesians 4:26, we can be angry but sin not. Okay, sin not. And don't let the sun go down on your wrath. So if you have, you know, malice or anything in your heart or whatever, it's nothing wrong with being angry. But don't let it turn into sin, hate, envy, and strife, and, you know, malice in your heart. And, you know, just if you nip stuff in the bud and just agree to disagree, even if it's a disagreement or whatever, try to come to some kind of, you know, resolve the problem. And if you can't resolve the problem, then go your separate way in peace.
Well, you just got to agree to disagree at that point.
Right. You don't have to break bread with nobody. Just, hi, how you doing? Every time you see him, so many people are walking away from relationships and away from people, and you don't even know why they mad. It could be as simple as, okay, I didn't see you that day. I had a lot on my mind. It could be something as simple as that. But you angry, you mad at somebody because of something stupid, and you don't even know why, you know, why the person did what they did. You don't even know if it was, they could have been, something on their mind. They didn't see you standing there. And what was wrong with you speaking to them?
Do you think about that? What was wrong with you speaking to them? Don't, it's, like I said, it's nothing wrong with, you know, being upset or angry, but don't let it turn into something else. Get it straight.
Amen. 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 We got like 2 minutes left, so consistently loving and love being consistent. I think that's powerful. Consistent love. So many people are looking for consistent love, but they don't know when it's in right in front of their face. But if we're single, we first have to love ourselves enough that we respect ourselves first. That's where love starts, learning how to love yourself. It's not that we always have to love others. We have to love ourselves first to love others. Because that's when we start treating people like we want to be treated. What was that?
A lot of people can't be consistent because they don't even love themselves.
But that's what I'm saying. So we got to learn how to love ourselves. Like, I'm sorry, go ahead.
And a lot of people love for the wrong reason. Because you love it for the
wrong reason. Well, that's what I'm saying, though. Learn how to love yourself first. Because how can you say you love somebody and you don't even love yourself? Learn how to love yourself first. When you love yourself, you'll respect yourself. Then that can graduate to loving somebody else. But you have to first learn at home. You have to first learn at home before you can share that love with somebody else. Any last words, Vanessa or Audra, before we close out?
Well, let me say this real quick. And if you love yourself and you won't let nobody disrespect or belittle you or treat you no other way than how you've been treating yourself.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's what we was talking about that earlier, remember? If you respect yourself, you will not allow somebody else to disrespect you.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Audra, Vanessa, you guys got any last words?
No.
No.
Okay. All right. Well, Ricky, if you try not to take us to church, can you pray us out?
Whatever. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this this segment of the Royal Blues, Lord God. Touch the listeners, Lord God. Whoever don't know you, Lord God, let them get to know you, Lord God. And I just want to say, Lord God, if they can just repeat after me, Lord, I'm sorry for the sins that I've committed. Lord God, come into my heart. Lord God, we accept you, Lord God, into our hearts. Lord God, we believe that you died and you rose on the third day. Lord God, I just want to say thank you for those who said that quick prayer with me, Lord God, that accepted Christ in their hearts, Lord God, and believe that he died and rose on the third day. Lord God, help us to speak your word before we need it, Lord God. Help us to learn of your word, Lord God, so we can teach others, Lord God. And we just want to say thank you, Lord God, for your word. Thank you for your will. Thank you for your ways, Lord God, because your ways are way better than our ways, Lord God. And help us to walk in love, Lord God. Let us be the hands and feet that you called us to be, Lord God. If don't nobody else read their Bible, Lord God, if they don't ever read their Bible, Lord God, let them read us, Lord God, and let us open the scriptures up to them by our lives, Lord God, and let us display Christ through our lives, Lord God, and continue to just be that light to our path and a lamp unto our feet, Lord God, so we can walk this straight and narrow way that you have given us, Lord God, because you said it's not going to be easy, Lord God, but everything is easy through you and with you, Lord God. Continue to just help us and lead us and guide us, Lord God. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Amen. So now that church is over, I want to repeat this subject, consistent love is the key. Consistent love. Amen. All right. Good night.
Good night.